Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Hello and welcome into another episode of the Nate Darling Show. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing well.
Kareem, how about yourself?
I'm good.
Sweet! Maybe a little shorter show. We started a little late, so. Yeah, you know.
Quick.
We came in under an hour last show. We're going to come in a little under that this time. We got other things to do. We've got some really important things to talk about. Florida Corner returns this show. We've got some grievances to get out there.
Oh, shit.
There are some morons in Arkansas.
Really?
That's like saying the water's wet.
Uh-huh. And a real idiot in Plattsburgh, New York. But that's not small town news.
Just an idiot in New York.
It's just an idiot in Plattsburgh, New York.
Happens.
Oh, and something I've titled Chainsaw in My Pants.
Well, I mean, it can saw through a log.
All sorts of stuff going on with that. So it's the Friday episode, people listening on the weekend. I hope you're having a great weekend so far. Please go ahead and do your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It's right up there at the top. It doesn't cost you any extra. Help support the show. So thank you for doing that. Jason, am I boring you?
Yeah.
It's a little yawn.
It's tough.
Yeah. It's a hard knock life.
I was trying to hold it.
You're not far off from being a two-time daddy-o.
Oh, man.
Are you not ready?
I'm just so tired.
And the baby's not even here.
No, man. Like, honestly, like, I don't know what happened, how I slept or whatnot. I haven't really changed my position for like 6 or 7 months of how I sleep.
That's what she said.
I know, unfortunately for her. But my shoulder has just been killing me for like the last 2 or 3 days. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I just could not get to sleep last night at all.
Did you do what I told you?
Yeah, I did. I laid down like that. I laid down on one, yeah.
How long did you roll it?
Yeah.
And how long?
About 30 minutes or so in between. Like, I did it for like 5 or 10 minutes. And then I rolled it for about 5 or 10 minutes. I had my wife, rub it and put some pressure on it.
What?
So, I mean, I tried a couple of different. I mean, I was trying to.
Hold on. You had your wife rub it?
What?
I wish.
You had her put some pressure on it?
Yeah. What? Did you say something?
Yeah.
Is that what I heard?
Yeah, and then she kissed it a little bit.
What?
My shoulder, you son of a bitch.
You know, I've sat here and I've listened to all of this. And it's very painful.
You're telling me.
It's very painful.
It's Jason's shoulder. It's very painful.
It is.
It's very painful. Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, we'll get
it was weird when she was rubbing it in certain areas. I could feel it in my neck even. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's how it's what's supposed to happen.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's like your whole body is connected.
No,
by a series of nerves.
My neck still hurts.
Oh, well.
Doesn't matter. Hey, what the fuck ever.
Now?
Okay. All right. Let's get into this. All right. So I have a story for you. This is a story of my Monday morning. So Sunday was WrestleMania, and watched WrestleMania and had a few beers. And now my wife had a very similar experience Monday morning, but we're going to leave it out of that. And the only thing we had in common that we took into our bodies on Sunday was this one beer, a blood orange Hefeweizen from Slow Brew. So I would have to believe if we both exhibited the same symptoms that that would be the cause. Because it was the only thing that had a commonality of what we took in that day. Okay? You following me?
Yeah.
So, get up and I head to the bathroom. And I sit down. and the velocity with which things exited my body was not normal.
Ooh, high velocity.
High velocity. Some would say terminal velocity for my anus.
Like 98 miles per hour.
It was that. Torn asunder is the term I would like to use.
Torn asunder?
Torn asunder.
Are you bleeding?
A little.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's force.
Right. And I wasn't pushing. It wasn't like I was straining. No. There was no strain.
No strain.
But when you're sitting there and you have that happen and you just sort of half collapse forward and go, oh.
It's probably very similar to the way like when Barney on The Simpsons burps and his lips quiver, but with your asshole.
Yeah, right. Right.
And with shit.
Mm, yeah. So there were multiple episodes of this.
Oh,
so it wasn't like I went once and it was over. Oh no, it was about four or five trips.
I was gonna ask if it was like a season.
Oh yeah,
of The Simpsons.
Oh yeah, it was like
or was it more like a mini series?
It was like this fecal matter was binging my anus.
Oh yeah, okay. So you binged it.
Yep, binged it.
You binged it.
Binged it. And yep. here's the worst part about the whole thing. I mean, aside from having to hear about it from me, getting in the shower.
Mm.
So, as you may or may not be aware, if you have a scrape somewhere and you get in the shower and you wash, when water hits that scrape, it kind of burns.
It can.
Okay. Now, imagine that it's your anus.
Oh, it's on fire.
Right? It's like a fire that you dump water onto,
right?
That only makes it worse,
right? Oh yeah,
no, it's like throwing water on a grease fire,
right?
It's only going to make it spread and burn,
or like an electrical fire.
Oh, so brutal.
Just gonna shock you. Just gonna shock you.
It was shocking, all right.
Oh man, so you were up and ready to go at it for the day.
I was. Yeah, it
woke you up.
It ruined my day.
Oh, ruined.
Yeah, it was ruined.
It didn't put a spring in your step?
My wife called in sick.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Right? I do not have a job, so I didn't have to call in sick from that.
Yeah.
It was a rough morning.
As long as you've spared us from your anus, then I guess we're fine.
It's true. Everything is fine now.
Yeah, of course, because it's run its course.
It was one good beer. It was two 16-ounce cans of slow brew blood orange Hefeweizen, which tasted delightful.
Oh, of course it does.
But
on the other side,
for whatever reason, and if you're someone who grew up in the Northeast, you will know what Jenny Screamers are.
Oh, yeah.
So do you know what Jenny Screamers are?
I can only imagine. Okay, is it a Red Hot?
No.
With a bunch of chili?
Nope. No. Jenny Screamers are what happens to you the morning after you get drunk on Genesee beer, specifically Genesee Cream Ale.
Oh.
Which is brewed in Rochester.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a Western New York beer.
Yeah.
And in college, I could get a case of 16-ounce bottles for $10.
Yeah.
So it's a cheap beer that you drink.
Yeah, but it's Genesee.
It's Genesee. It's direct from the Genesee River to you.
Yeah.
And so the next morning, you would have these. And invariably, now this didn't happen on this occasion to me, but a Jenny Screamer is characterized by the brown streaks that you leave in the bottom of your toilet.
Oh, yeah.
As it exits your body at such force that it goes all the way through the water like a bullet.
It happens.
Like a bullet to the bottom of your bowl and leaves a streak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a Jenny Screamer.
You know, I used to have Popeye Screamers.
But a beer is barley, hops, and water.
I know, and Popeye's Screamers just... It's just some spicy Popeye chicken. Has to be the spicy with plenty of hot sauce on it. And then you get a side of the jambalaya, and you put a bunch of extra hot sauce on that.
Mm.
And then 3 to 4 hours later, you'll have a Popeye Screamer.
Which is you sitting on the toilet just screaming.
After I met Chris, I didn't loathe myself so much anymore that I would eat at Popeyes. Like, I had a little bit more respect for myself or her.
Oh boy.
But there was a time, buddy.
So the worst part, to addendum my story.
Oh, yeah.
Later in the afternoon, after the worst of it was over, we happened to be out at, I took her out to an appointment, and then we went to Ross to pick up a couple of things. And I accidentally let a fart go in Ross.
That was a bad idea, bro. You can't trust a fart.
No. It was nothing but air.
Oh, it was just a fart. Okay, good, good.
But it was the most rancid air.
Doesn't matter.
And it was the kind that just follows you.
Oh, it doesn't
matter.
It
sticks
though.
With you. And she looks at me and goes, "Did you do that?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm really sorry.
I did it. I did it."
Like I was a good 6 feet away from her, and I was just hoping. And I'm pointed the other way. And I'm just hoping, you know, it dissipates out in Ross. No, and because,
Listen, there is almost no safer place than Ross to do what you did
in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best places to do it.
It's a judgment free zone.
Well, even it's not even so much as it's just there's other people there, and they have weird clothes and stuff. You know, you never know.
By the way, if you ever are in the market because you need a metal rooster between a foot and a half and 3.5 feet tall.
Ross is your place. You know, if you want some just a little off brand candy, or maybe something that's like normally only found in like a gift shop at an airport, type of candy, Ross is your place to get it.
The other thing they have there is some technology accessories if you have a phone that's more than 4 years old.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Those will be available in a sandwich bag put on a wall.
Oh, and then also, usually, there's all of the characters from all the movies and toys that you don't want.
Sometimes that. The other thing that they have frequently that I see are size 17 baseball cleats.
Yeah.
I had friends that I used to go, like when I was like 17, 18, we might have partaken in some marijuana, but we would go around Walmart and find really large shoes or Ross.
Sure.
And generally it was Walmart because they're open 24 hours, but sometimes Ross was open. And just get on the largest shoes that they had and flop around the place with the shoes on. Because it's so ridiculous when they have, like, the size 15 shoe.
I found a size 18 shoe.
Yes!
In Ross.
Yes.
So, that was it. So, anyway, yes.
It's awesome when your shoes can wear shoes. Mm-hmm. True
all right.
lifts.
All right. So back to my anus.
Back to
my anus. So Charmin has introduced what they're calling the Forever Roll. The Forever Roll is a roll of toilet paper that is enormous and that allegedly will last you 1 month.
Get the fuck out of here.
Absolutely. A month of Charmin. There it is up on the screen for y'all.
What? Are they just trying to fucking sell us some commercial fucking toilet paper?
Well, no, this is apparently... So the multi-user size is 12 inches in diameter, and the single-user size for the single gal is 8.7 inches. By the way, if you are single and you ever hope to have a relationship, you do not want... By the way, they will send you a free stand if you order this.
Oh, of course. You have to.
Because it won't fit on a regular one. If you were to... Imagine for a moment, Jason, or... You're a single guy, and you walk into a single young lady's bathroom, and this giant 12-inch roll of toilet paper is on a stand next to the toilet like this.
What would I say? What would I do? I'd be like, I think this chick might get me. She probably will understand my need to take a 35 to 40 minute shit. Because she obviously likes toilet paper.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that might be a plus for me, so I might be the wrong guy to ask.
The multi-user. By the way, the Freeholder plus 3 rolls is what you get with free shipping, a money-back guarantee.
Hey, boss, somebody just sent me a bag full of a bunch of toilet paper. It's all been used. But it came with this letter that said that they were not satisfied.
Right. It's available in Charmin Ultra Soft, so it's not the commercial stuff that is literally sandpaper for your anus. So the multi-user, it's 2 pounds of toilet paper on a roll, and your maximum purchase is 20 units. But now it will give you, it's discounted, it's half price, for $29.97, you can get 3 of these giant rolls of toilet paper and a free stand.
Sold.
And a free stand. It's getting 4.8 out of 5 stars.
Oh, yeah, because that's some good shitting paper.
535 reviews. I have to look to see the 2 people that gave it 1 star. This would be you, Jason. 1 star 7 days ago. Nowhere near a month. I received 3 rolls and was excited to try this out. We're a family of 5 with 2 bathrooms. Well, there's 5 of you.
Get the fuck out of here.
I put the forever roll in the upstairs bathroom and each roll has lasted less than a week. Not worth my money. There's 5 of you.
One of your kids has a problem shitting.
Right.
They're not even sitting. They're just tearing up paper.
So Anonymous from the Charmin team replies, "We understand your frustration. We estimate our multi-user roll will last about 2 weeks in a 4-person household. But we understand usage habits vary. Your satisfaction means the world to us, which is why we offer the money-back guarantee. We'd be happy to walk you through that process. Just give us a call when you can." How about that?
That's some fucking customer service,
right?
Bitch.
Right? We were here to make fun of them, and that's what it was. But So this freestanding toilet paper holder is normally $29.99, so it's free.
Can we read another 1-star? I want to read another one.
Let me see if we can find another.
Or the
one.
5-star. I want to read a 5.
You want to read a 5-star review? There's only 2. I think that was with the response. Let's go to a 2-star review. There's a few of those. Not that impressed. The toilet paper holder doesn't stand up properly, and the toilet paper is no better than the other brands I use.
Was not supposed to be better. I think it's just supposed to last longer.
Yeah. The response from Charmin support. Nina, thank you for your feedback. The tipping may be the result of a common assembly error. Can you please confirm that when assembling the holder, you unscrewed the before inserting the rod and tightening? You can find instructions in a video on our website, and then they provide a link. And then someone says, I like it, but I'm not sure this is a good deal. So for that, you give them 2 stars? Come on. Missing toilet paper holder. We received our order very fast, which is great, but it was missing the holder. All we received was the base. Now we have huge rolls of toilet paper and no way to use it. Oops. The response, Brittany, thank you for letting us know. We found your order and we'll be sending you a replacement holder.
How did they find her? She's anonymous.
Right.
How did they find her?
No, the anonymous is Charmin
support.
No,
but she's anonymous. Look at her.
Oh, that's right. Well, they found her.
Okay, let's see the 5 stars.
By the way, this just in, Virginia is your national champion, but you knew that because this is Friday's episode.
Oh!
And that happened on Monday.
Well, somebody just won the Final Four.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Overtime.
All right. Great buy. I received this a couple weeks ago, and it looks like the roll is still full. I bought the multi-use roll because I suffer from IBS with diarrhea. I was going through at least 2 super mega Charmin rolls a week. Doing the math, I realized it would be much more economical. It's still the same soft Charmin I love, and I don't have to change the rolls so frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Great valuer, V-A-L-U-R. I've had it over a week, and it looks like the roll hasn't even been used. So soft, and I appreciate that. And here's my favorite, and I'm seeing a tie-in. Hello, Taco Bell. Hubby and 3 sons can now indulge in the food of their dreams. Make sure you have plenty on hand for Super Sunday.
Jason, did you write that?
This is fucking great.
And here's the response from the Charmin team. When you have a family full of super poopers, having trusty TP is essential. We're thrilled you rely on our forever roll to keep everybody's tushes clean and comfy. Thanks for taking the time to write. So, yeah, it's shop.charmin.com. And
get a starter kit.
Yeah, let them know. And no joke, free shipping on everything. Get the starter kit. All right.
That shit's funny.
It is. It's good times. All right, so...
Something my butthole could really appreciate. Good reporting, Nate.
I am seriously considering a bidet.
We got one.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How is it?
It's great. I still use toilet paper. You know, a little bit.
Ultimately, you'd want to dry it off.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's changed my life. I hate pooping outside of my house now.
Oh, you're now fully home bowl.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I've been pondering it, and we just changed out all the insides of the toilet like 2.5 weeks ago because we had issues with it keeping running. And I've been like, I've been talking about it for so long, but I've just not pulled the trigger on it.
We got a really inexpensive one.
Yeah, you don't have to spend that much money on it.
I think it might have only been like $50 or $60.
Yeah, you see them on Amazon. Click the link at natedarlingshow.com. So totally recommend it?
Yeah. I mean, the cold water at first can be a little like, but you get used to that. I mean, you do.
Well, I think what it does is it makes your asshole slam shut to make sure nothing else comes.
Oh, you know, actually, it's funny because that first little shot in, like if you get it right in the booty hole, it's like a hole in one. You can just feel it like, you can feel it loosen for a second and then be like, oh no. And it just like completely.
My God. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Get that booty all nice and clean. Like seriously. Woo! It does whistle when you're done.
So clean you can eat off it.
And I have. Yeah. Oh man. Gotta eat some ass.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to treat my, that's going to be my Easter gift to me.
Oh yeah, do it. It'll be not to you, to your butthole. Oh. It'll be your Easter gift to your butthole.
Right.
Make it find it.
To apologize for that beer I had.
Oh yeah, it's like, thanks, buddy.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that blood orange Hefeweizen from Slow Brew.
Man, it helps.
Oh.
It's great. Especially like when you got a couple of roids in there.
Oh. Totally doing it. All right. So what's wrong with kids?
Well,
Prince Harry wants to ban Fortnite because he thinks that's it. So do you play Fortnite?
No.
So Prince Harry is calling for a ban on it, saying the survival game is beloved by teenagers around the world, was created to addict. His words add a growing debate among health workers, governments, and lobby groups whether gaming can be harmful to health. The remarks came just before the Gaming BAFTA Awards, which is one of the biggest nights in the UK's gaming calendar, which take place in London. But is he right? So, at an event at the YMCA in West London, the Duke of Sussex launched a scathing attack on social media and gaming of Fortnite. He said, that game shouldn't be allowed. Where's the benefit of having it in your household? It's created to addict, an addiction to keep you in front of a computer for as long as possible, so it's irresponsible. It's like waiting for the damage to be done and the kids turning up on your doorsteps and families being broken down. He added that social media was more addictive than alcohol and drugs. Ironically, he
was he Facebook Living it?
that would have been really ironic. And then the article goes into what is Fortnite. So if you don't know what Fortnite is,
you've been living in a fucking cave.
Mm-hmm. Now, earlier this month, a general practitioner told an 11-year-old boy that he was prescribing a 2-week ban from computer games such as Fortnite and Minecraft. Dr. Amir Khan said he was concerned about the impact gaming was having on the boy's life. It was a lighthearted attempt to draw attention to a serious issue, but anecdotally, more doctors are seeing links between gaming and the effects on both physical and mental health of young people. And it's not only youngsters who were affected. Research shows that 200 divorces in the UK from January to September of 2018 mentioned addiction to Fortnite and other online games as one of the reasons for relationship breakdown.
Get the fuck out. If Fortnite's what broke your marriage, you did not have a fucking marriage, bitches.
However, Scottish University researcher Andrew Reid said he thought that the game was not addictive and suggested that using the term stigmatize. God damn it. Hold on.
You're having a stroke.
What?
Take a breath.
What? Did you say something?
Okay, try again.
However, Scottish University researcher Andrew Reid said he thought the game was not addictive and suggested that using the term could stigmatize regular video game players. He added that some research showed positive characteristics of play. So, thoughts?
They've been doing fucking studies on video games and about the detrimental bad effects on kids and adults for like 25, 30 years. I mean, for a long time now. And they've found very little to connect, like violence because of video games and things of that nature. So while it can be addictive, I mean, it's just like anything. Like you got to put a limitation. Like a limitation. The adults, get the fuck out of here. Like, they're grown-ass adults. They might be addicted. They might need a 12-step program. What the fuck ever. But if they got a divorce, if you're getting a fucking divorce because you're playing Fortnite, your marriage was already in the shitter.
We have a comment from someone that happened to.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
What's ridiculous? I mean, that is what it's made for. That's why, that's all the social media. That's why it's what it's geared to.
I'm not saying it's all wired.
It's all wired to make us all addicted to all of those things.
Right. That's the whole purpose. That you spend more time.
Yeah.
And as far as kids go, I don't think you should ban it, but it's called parenting. And the idea that you tell your kid, you got 40 minutes to play your video game, and then you got to go do your homework, or you've got to go out and play, or you've got to help me do the dishes, is how you solve that.
Yeah.
It's not by banning the video game.
It's called being a parent.
Right.
Like, my parents didn't just let me play video games all day when I was a kid.
Yeah, and look at you.
Yeah, we got a bunch of shitty parents these days, though.
Do we have a lot of shitty parents?
It's babysitting.
Yeah.
Do we have a lot of shitty parents, or do we just have the ability to see a bunch of other people being shitty parents?
No, yes, we have a lot of shitty. I don't know. We have a lot of shitty parents.
We have a lot of parents who want to be on their phone too. Yeah, they want to do their thing. They're selfish. They're not engaged, and for them, it's if I give them a tablet or I give them their game, they're going to be quiet, and I'm going to have peace and quiet for however long I want to have it.
I mean, that's the way parents have been operating, though, for a long time.
Sure. It was sit them in front of the TV, and that's what will happen.
I mean, like, that's – and before that, it was set them outside, and I'll be outside all day.
I'll give you something to cry about.
So, I mean, like, it's been going on. Like,
no, it's not. It's not the. It's not the same.
It's not the same as sitting your kid in front of the TV and telling them to watch TV all day.
No,
like, that's been going on since the 60s.
Our parents would send us outside to play.
Not all the time, though. I guarantee you that the percentage of parents that do that is probably the same. It's just the population has grown by so much that it seems like there's a bunch of bad.
No. I don't think it's the same, because we have the way our society is now, we have a bunch of permissible. We got a bunch of
our
people.
Society is safer than it's ever been right now, man. Like, you look statistically at our society and the number of people in it per capita, we are at the safest point we've ever been. We're the healthiest we've ever been. Like, we are doing really well. But if you want to talk
so we're safer and we're healthier, but does that mean it's better?
Yes, it's better than when an eight-year-old had to work in a factory no matter what. It's better. I mean, like, yes, there's a lot of things that are better now for us in this country, at least. I mean,
there are things that are better, but we're in a society now where everybody wants everything to be permitted. We're in a participation trophy society where, okay, well, we want your kid. We want all the kids to play equal time regardless of whether or not they have equal talent. We want everybody to feel like they're involved or they're, regardless of whether it's married or not. That's not better. I'm sorry. It's not.
I mean,
you got parents. You got parents that will go to the school or to the coach and argue with them about their kids not being able to do such and such.
When I was in grade school,
opposed to making their kid bring themselves up to that standard.
We had something when I was a kid called GATE, all right? And GATE was gifted accelerated teaching educate or something like that. It was for all the smart kids.
Yeah, I know. I was one of those kids.
All right. Well, if you at the school I was at, like, if your parent was participating in, like, a PTA member and stuff like that, there's a good chance your kid was in GATE, all right? But somebody like me that did not have a parent that was there or anything like that, like, I was not in that group. I was not part of that echelon of things, even though I scored in the 99 percentile my testing and all that type of stuff.
Well, you went to a shitty school.
Well, I'm just saying that, like,
I was in it because there were like six of us who scored in that percentile.
Right. Well, I guess
nobody that was in it when I was in it was in it because their parent was at the school. We were all in it based off of our intellect.
Well, so what I'm saying is like it's been shitty.
So that means that the parents at your school were shitty parents who wanted their kid to be a part of something that their kid hadn't earned.
All I'm saying is it's been going on for a long time, and to try to pin this on this generation or these people, what's going on now? This was all taught by the generations of parents from the 70s and the 60s, and that's why the parents are the way they are now, is because of those people. So, I mean, parents teach, like, you learn from your parents. That's what you learn from. Some parents, at some point, two generations ago, got soft, and that was your generation.
Because my parents didn't get soft.
No, I didn't either. But parents did in that.
There are some parents in that generation that got soft, and they've been getting softer ever since then. Which means the people that are raising kids these days are those kids. Are the kids of those kids?
I don't know. I work with a lot of kids that are in their early 20s. They're I don't know, man. And I talk to teachers. I know plenty of people that are teachers and stuff like that. And I don't think that.
Dude, half of my friends run programs, after school programs or some kind of program. I coach kids flag football for 5 years,
and you say the kids are horrible for five years straight. Okay, and the kids are horrible and they're shitty, and their parents are.
I didn't say the kids were shitty. I said their parents are. Yeah. A lot of them, but there's always been shitty parents,
is what I'm saying. There's always been parents that have been shitty, you know? I mean, and it's just, that's just the way that it is.
Like, so I had parents who would be like, oh, my kids should be playing more. What was it? One parent said, my kids should be playing more. I was like, okay. So I told the kid, I said, look, don't block the kid in front of you. Go block the Asian kid because that's the guy who's getting the flag all day. Kid stood up, looked at the kid in front of him, and just kind of looked around. I pulled his ass out and set him on the bench for the rest of the game. His parents didn't bring him back because I pulled him because of that. I had another lady who got mad at me for...
What you're talking about has been happening for generations, though. Like, it's been happening for the last 50, 60 years. There's been parents who are like,
Jason. My parents didn't go to school, didn't come out to the school because the teacher wasn't treating me fairly. Unless it was a teacher that was punishing somebody's kid unnecessarily. They did not come to school and say, you got to make sure my kid plays. None of the parents in my school was doing that shit. I never played on a team where a parent came and was like, my son needs to play. Because we had a couple that would do that bullshit because they thought their kid was better than he was, but the shit wasn't like it is now. We didn't get participation trophies. You had to earn a trophy for something that you did.
I still don't understand. Like, I get the want to think and blame it all on people getting in trophies and stuff like that, and it's all being Mr. Rogers' fault for telling everybody that they're special.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
I didn't bring Mr. Rogers into this.
But I guess what I'm saying is I think that's a shitty way to think. I got friends that teach
from elementary school to college.
And I have family members that teach high school, and I have family members that are high school principal. I mean, like, that doesn't, I have friends that are PhDs and have, like, you know, I have
the same conversations that you have.
But what I'm saying is I don't think that it's, video games are not being created to be more, like, if they're
the science says it.
There's something called loot crates, and it's a form, like, there's
the formula. There's a formula for it. You sound like the people when people were like, look, if you put these OPOs through, these people are going to become addicted. And you were like, oh, no.
So Fortnite's not a game. So when they're talking about addiction, and like what I'm talking about with addiction and stuff like that is there's some games like Black Ops and things of that nature where you can buy stuff called loot crates, all right? You can buy these loot crates and stuff like that. And with Fortnite, you can do that, I believe, but it's only for – it's not for anything that helps you in the game. It's for things that are just your costumes and whatnot. So I don't know that – if I was going to say there's something bad about it, it's the having to almost gamble money to get something out of a loot crate. But I don't think that – like the video gaming is the same that it's been. It's not different.
The video game is specifically designed for that, to keep you in front of it.
Well, yes, but your job is being a human being. Like, you're saying that you don't have any choice as a human being to step away from it. And
you – look, you're an addict. You know that there are things that are that you don't.
But it's not. This is
know that is the case in with certain things.
But I think that there's a difference between addiction and being compelled to do something and a parent not telling somebody not to do something.
Okay.
I think that there's a difference.
So if your parent told you not to drink during that time that you were drinking, would you not drink?
We're not talking about the same. There's a chemical factor. There's a chemical factor.
But hold on.
But there is a chemical factor.
There is. And that's the whole thing. These games, the way they've been developed, is when you're playing the game, you get a good feeling from playing the game. There's a dopamine rush from doing that. And they've built them in. There is an addictive factor to it. But that doesn't mean that we should ban video games.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that.
So, I've had enough of this agreement. Let's move on.
And now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
I'm tired of people who yell at each other and are both on the same side. It's it's something that an old general manager of mine used to refer to as a fervent agreement. When you don't really hear what the other person is saying because you're so set on defending your own point. That's mine. Kareem, what's been crawling up your ass?
Cancer.
Fuck cancer.
Fuck cancer. Yes, fuck cancer. And fuck all these new age whappers. This new generation of rappers and people with no respect for anybody or anything. Because they want to be, clout chasing, or they want to be seen, or they want some follows or some like. Fuck those people and fuck their parents, because they were shitty parents.
Fair enough. Jason, what about you?
People that talk shit about millennials all the time. I'll just say this, like, every generation that's 20 or 30 years out always says some shit about the kids nowadays. And when you're saying kids nowadays, that should show that you need to take some extra introspection into why you're saying that and maybe befriend more kids that age. I don't know.
I have no goddamn kids.
So, which leads you, like, the way that I know that I'm out of this area or that era and I need to check myself is when I listen to music and I don't know what's going on, like at the Grammys that we did, that show where I did not know almost any artist that was talked about.
Yeah, but dude, when I was like in the age range, I didn't like anything on the Grammys, because you know what, the Grammys is not for me. The Grammys are for white women.
Yes,
and now it's for African Americans too.
Yeah,
no, it's not for white guys. And then never
you,
was.
And then if you want to talk about that, look at the people that fucking Cardi B was nominated for a Grammy.
Why are you hating on Cardi B?
Listen to her lyrics and you'll understand.
I don't understand anything she says.
Exactly. Cardi B is nominated for a fucking Grammy.
So all I'm saying is everything, fucking, like when you get older, like you, like everything gets worse and everything's so much worse now. And like these people don't, they're horrible artists now. They don't have any respect. All that, that's all old. That's all that's been said for the last 100 years, 200 years, 1,000 years by the 2 generations, 3 generations before them. And then it changes. Like that's just the way it is. That's progress. That's the way it goes.
No, you're sometimes not, progress isn't progress.
So your grievance is with old people.
Yeah.
It's with people that talk shit about millennials. Like these kids, have had to deal with more than any of us had to even think about dealing with.
Motherfucker, please.
They've had it. They have to
get if they haven't had to go out in the fucking field at 4 o'clock in the morning, they have not dealt with more shit than we've had to. I don't even hear that.
You two guys are an exception to
bullshit.
Well, don't love me, and I'm not arguing his point.
But kids, here's it. No, but kids now have to deal with about AIDS. They have to be knowing about school shootings. They have to be knowing about all the other shit that's going on there. Possible nuclear warfare.
Global warming. You just described my teenage years.
I'm just saying, like, they're AIDS, having to deal with
nuclear
all that.
War.
AIDS, nuclear war. I'm saying we had fucking bomb drills in school.
I'm saying that
I'm from the South. We had fucking tornado drills from the time I
there's
hit
a lot more. There's a lot of shit on kids' plates now that there wasn't.
Man, please.
Okay, you can say that. They have advertisers trying to grab their minds and shit with video games, according to you, and then also...
Look, Tipper Gore was angry about music in the 80s, too.
Like, okay, so now you guys are saying, Ice-T and
Prince. So now you guys are arguing my point, that we're all just... It's all just the same thing, so don't fucking worry about it.
No.
It'll be fine.
No, motherfucker, we need to... Look, that's what they said about opioids. We don't need to worry about it. It'll help the pain, help you with the pain.
Now, no, it's not. They lied. They lied. That was a lie. Exactly. That was all a lie.
Exactly.
There's nothing that's lying about video game. I don't know, like...
What do you mean? That's the same concept.
You may be a little too close to video games.
Dude, this is the same...
No, and let's end this. No one wants to ban video games.
No. It's the same fucking concept. Everything that's being marketed to you is designed to make you addicted to it.
Right.
The fucking Facebook, Instagram.
Movies, TV.
Yes.
This podcast. Okay. Listen more. You'll love it. You know what else you'll love? This story out of Fresno.
Jack's $4 fish sandwich combo.
Oh, you'll love that too.
It'll make everyone a fish. It's only $4.
You know the worst part is I played this ad so that we wouldn't have to sit through it. Yeah, they've got tartar sauce. Big fucking deal. Ooh, tartar sauce.
Warren and Margo, you can see the items inside RG equipment are large and bulky. It's why the owner said shoplifting was really never a concern until now.
It's hard not to laugh when watching this video captured inside RG equipment.
We get lots of jokes. It's turned into somewhat of a comedy.
But to owner Jeff Bennett, the loss is hardly a joking matter.
It was frustrating. You feel embarrassed. You feel confused.
The owner was the only one at the counter Wednesday when two guys walked in. Bennett says they clearly had a plan and worked together to divert his attention.
I kind of had that intuition that they were not here to buy something in the store.
While one of the suspects lured Bennett to the far left wall, the other entered the showroom and snatched a $400 chainsaw from the shelf. The man hit the blade by stuffing it down his pants, then covered the handle with his jacket. Both men then walk outside of the store.
Then I immediately got on my phone and was checking the cameras, and that's when I seen it happen, but by that time they were gone.
Bennett says it looked obvious to him the suspects had done this before.
You kind of wish that if they applied themselves doing something good for humanity and for life, the same energy that they apply to steal.
The business has been fielding calls from media outlets from New York to Texas about this unusual video. With all the national exposure, they say someone out there has to know something.
And the business also caught this shot of the suspect's car. It's a silver Dodge Ram with an extended cab.
Yeah, not many of those driving around Fresno. Just saying. But I'm also sick and tired of people going, you know, if they took that energy and put it towards something good with humanity, then meh.
What would they do?
Exactly.
What
would
they do?
They wouldn't, because they're selfish assholes, and they're not putting that much effort into it.
Yeah.
One of them brought you over to the other wall. The other one put this chainsaw in his pants.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Florida. Land of Enchantment, and Crazy Shit. This is Florida Corner.
Moments after bonding out of custody on a grand theft charge, a Florida man burglarized a series of vehicles in a parking lot of the jail where he had been incarcerated.
Come on now. Come on.
According to police, Casey Michael Lewis, 34, was booked into the St. Lucie County jail around 4 a.m. on Thursday following his arrest at a Walmart for grand theft and other charges. Lewis bonded out of custody just after 9 a.m. Now, cops charged that Lewis, upon walking out of lockup, proceeded to the jail's parking lot and burglarized a vehicle. He was subsequently confronted by deputies who spotted him pulling on car door handles in an apparent attempt to enter unlocked autos. Lewis allegedly stole an iPhone, $547 in cash, cigarettes, a debit card, and a driver's license from the auto of a female victim who told police she accidentally left her car unlocked. Hey, you stupid, stupid woman. Whether you left your car unlocked accidentally, why are you leaving an iPhone, $547 in cash, and a debit card in there? I'm going to leave the cigarettes out of it for a moment.
In front of the police station.
Right? Unbelievable. I'm guessing it was just her purse. In other Florida news, it's a proclamation. You know, proclamations are important, right?
Yeah.
It's from Ocala, Florida.
They're just speaking out about the controversy in the last few minutes. News 6's Jerry Askin is live in Marion County with the latest developments. Jerry.
Ladies, yes, and Kent Gwynn, Mayor Kent Gwynn is...
live with the latest developments. The most nothing statement throwing to a live reporter. He's live. Well, yeah, okay, great. Uh-huh. He's going to have... What? Hold on. The latest developments? You mean he's not just going to recap bullshit you've told us for the past 18 hours? Shit you didn't need to throw to him for? You're going to have the latest and he's live?
Oh, that's why it's the latest.
He's standing in front, by the way, of a handicapped ramp of a building. Could be any building anywhere, but he's live with the very latest. Hold on. Let's see. Proclamation news, sorry.
Is actually holding a press conference right now. I'm speaking a tad softly because the press conference is happening literally right here. We stepped out to give you all this live report. Mayor Gwynn mentioned he made this proclamation simply to support, to preserve history, I should say, and to honor veterans. He made it very clear also he's not a racist and not a member of the KKK. Take a listen to what he had to say here in the past 5 minutes.
I was simply honoring the request of these folks. To recognize and memorialize veterans who had died that were Confederate soldiers.
So basically, he proclaimed Confederate Memorial Day at the urging of the Daughters of the Confederacy.
Fuck them.
I'm not a racist.
I want to make it clear, I'm not a racist. Let's salute the Confederacy.
You're a traitor.
Oh boy. Meanwhile, it's time for some dumb people news. I need you guys to take a look at Corey Favreau. Now, Corey Favreau lives in Plattsburgh, New York. He's 37 years old, and there he is.
Oh, he looks like he is wasted.
Well, police say the man who believed an intruder was in his home was operating a meth lab. According to Plattsburgh police, Corey Favreau called 911 for a trespassing complaint. When officers responded on Sunday morning to his home on Champlain Street, he told them that he had heard something in his attic and believed there was someone in his house. Now, the officers then checked the home and didn't find anyone suspicious. They did, however, find numerous items consistent with the manufacturer of methamphetamine. Now, due to the hazardous chemicals found, three residents had to be evacuated, and after obtaining a search warrant, the police narcotics unit and the New York State Police said they found several items used to make meth. He was arrested and charged with one count of manufacturing meth, one count of endangering the welfare of a child, and he was arraigned the next morning in Plattsburgh City Court, where he was sent to the Clinton County Jail. They'd cleared the scene by that afternoon. So that's dumb guy by himself. What happens when dumb guy goes out with his dumb friend?
Mm-hmm.
Well, two Arkansas men took turns shooting one another while wearing a bulletproof vest. And they were both arrested for felony assault. As detailed in a probable cause affidavit, Charles Ferris, who's 50 and should know better, and Christopher Hicks, who's 36 and also should know better, were drinking Sunday night on the back deck of Ferris's residence when they came up with the bright idea to shoot themselves. Or each other. Ferris, who was wearing a bulletproof vest, told Hicks to shoot him.
Shoot me, goddammit.
Hicks obliged, firing a single round from a .22 caliber rifle into Ferris's chest. Now, while the vest stopped the bullet, Ferris was left with a painful welt on his chest.
Come on, don't be a pussy. Shoot me, goddammit. Shoot me.
Hicks then put the vest on himself. Ferris, who would later tell cops that he was pissed about being shot, confessed that he unloaded the clip into Hicks's back. None of the five rounds penetrated the protective vest, but Hicks was bruised from them hitting him. Now, when Ferris subsequently sought medical treatment for the shooting injury, hospital workers summoned police. Now, instead of admitting that he and Hicks had shot each other, Ferris spun a wild tale about coming under fire by a mystery assailant while he was protecting an individual he referred to as an asset. Ferris claims he was paid, right? Ferris claims he was paid $200 to protect the asset, whom he had met in a bar in the city of Springdale. But after his wife told police what actually happened, Ferris confessed to fabricating the whole cloak and dagger story, claiming he did not want to get Hicks in trouble. Now, both men were subsequently arrested in connection with aggravated assault and released from Benton County Jail on $5,000 bond apiece. They will be arraigned on May 13th.
Them two dumbasses out there shooting each other. I told that motherfucker not to let that... Let him shoot him. Take the dumbasses to jail for letting him shoot him.
And that's what the hell happened there. A sheriff's deputy reported confiscating the bulletproof vest the subjects wore during the incident, adding the rifle will also be seized.
Wow.
Right. Oh, boy.
Shut up, Martha.
Right. I have one quick follow-up for you as well before we get to the end here. We like to follow up on the stories that we follow. Now, a man who surmised the ghost may have planted meth in his Louisiana home eventually admitted that he and not another otherworldly force was responsible for the drug being in his residence. You might remember Michael Ottenberry, who's 60, arrested back in October after police arrived at his home in response to a purported assault, where Ottenberry told them that he called 911 to claim that he had been stabbed on the head by an axe. Turns out, no. That was not, in fact, the case, because he didn't have any axe wounds.
And it was just the meth.
And it was nobody there. Yeah.
It was just the meth, bro.
It's just the meth. That seems to be the deal. It's always
just the meth.
It's always just the meth. All right, let's wrap this thing up, shall we?
Let's leave the hustle and bustle.
Ooh, for small like a brisket during the stall.
What?
When you are smoking barbecue brisket or pork butt.
Okay.
There's a certain point where the evaporation happening in the meat happens so much that it makes the temperature just stay at one temp. So you have to cover it and then put it back in the barbecue.
Okay.
To prevent the moisture from leaking out. So, anyhow, it's a stall. That's what. Yeah.
Kareem, do you have any idea where that information came from? Like, what prompted that? Because I'm lost. I'm like, did I say something that sparked that comment?
You did.
Okay.
Because it was a stall.
The stall.
Like, that's what they call that when you have to do that. The meat stalls.
Gotcha. Sorry.
I was stalling.
Lost track there for a second. Alrighty. So small town news. Let's head to Grand Forks, North Dakota once again, where Marilyn is on the eat beat. Headline, pizza recipes and liver and onions. By the way, right now, as we're recording this, there's a winter storm watch in Grand Forks.
Oh, it's spring's not here yet?
First things first, while the Eat Beat led me to eating adventures in Grafton, North Dakota this week, there's unfinished business on the plate. Readers have more to say about the first pizza in Grand Forks, and they want the world to know liver and onion dinners are alive and well around the area. Good to know? First, the pizza. Longtime residents were quick to remind the Eat Beat that Howard's Pizza, not Mike's, was the first in Grand Forks. That was back in the early 50s, and that correction was reported in the Eat Beat last week. This week, the Eat Beat received sidelights from Hal Gershman. He was a student at Central High School when Howard's opened. He started going there with friends after basketball and football games, saying, "It became our hangout. I think I had pizza almost every day." Now, later in 1969, when Gershman opened a pizza house in Mexico City, he got the recipe from Howard's wife, Maria Gutenberg. Her only request was that Gershman not open a pizza house within 50 miles of Howard's. She said she shared the recipe because Gershman brought Central High School to Howard's. He said he looks back on success with Happy's Pizza in Mexico City long ago. Gershman has fond memories. He still keeps the recipe in a safe. Now to Liver and Onions. Liver and Onions bring as much, even more response from readers as pizza, and I think that tells you who's reading the Eat Beat, I mean, aside from us. Alan Larson, who grew up in East Grand Forks and taught school 31 years at Argyle, says a liver and onion dinner can be found at nearby Oslo, Minnesota. He said they serve it sometimes at Kitty's Cafe, which is a pretty popular place. Larson suggests checking first with Kitty's to find out when Liver and Onions is on the menu. And Liver and Onions is for sure on the menu for April 25th, so mark those calendars. At the Grand Forks Senior Center, the entree option will be baked chicken. Side dishes are mashed potatoes with cream, gravy, broccoli, and cauliflower. There's an orange wedge with fruit pie for dessert.
Hold on a second. Like, can you imagine that person that's listening, like, that's really, like, they're getting their menu from Maryland that's at the Grand Forks Senior Center? Hold on a second. They haven't released that menu yet. How does she know?
Oh, she gets all the scoops.
God damn it, Maryland.
Maryland's got all the scoops. Now, readers around Thief River Falls are quick to report Liver and Onions are alive and well over there, too. D. Wolzian says Liver and Onions are the special at the American Legion every Tuesday evening. Don Hajik reports Liver and Onions can be found Tuesday evenings at Jeff Linden's Kitchen in the American Legion at Thief River Falls. The Eat Beat has visited the American Legion Club in East Grand Forks. They are regular customers, know when to find the Liver and Onions.
So all the old people know where to get the Liver and Onions.
Well, does anybody else eat Liver and Onions? Well,
at what point do you start eating Liver and Onions? Like, do I know?
I know? I'm guessing the 50s.
Yeah.
And you've never stopped.
Yes.
It's not, you didn't just start eating Liver and Onions when you got old. You've been eating them your whole life, but nobody else wants them.
I used to eat them.
Well, this is all important information for you then.
I like fried chicken liver.
Mm.
That's something that I do like.
Okay. Now, one of the liveliest responses was from Dennis Almer. He wrote, "What? Nowhere to get Liver and Onions in Grand Forks? If you haven't heard by now, Grandma Butterwick's restaurant on South Washington Street is the place to go for this superb delicacy. Even the luncheon portion is too much to eat at one sitting. The liver is prepared..." I would argue that it's all too much to eat in one sitting. "The liver is prepared and cooked to perfection. Mild, yet tasty in flavor. Not greasy and so tender you can..." Well, you know.
No, what are you doing with your liver, bro? Like, why can't you tell us, man? Like, why do you have to say you know? Like, you know. Like,
you know.
When you say you know, that means that you're doing something with your dick.
Right? He says, you know. You know what he does? You know what he does? He eats half of it, and he takes the other half home and wraps it around his dick and masturbates with that liver. It's so soft, you can use it to whack off. And you can use the onions for lube. Green, have you ever beat off with liver and onions?
No.
Have you tried?
No.
Is it something you might do and report back on?
Hell no. Oh.
Dude, you haven't tried it until you've gotten some liver gravy on your dick. Like, I mean, it's probably the second tastiest thing that's ever been on my penis.
The second tastiest?
Oh, yeah.
What's the tastiest?
Well, some coconut.
Oh, the proper answer is my wife. What's the tastiest thing that's been on your dick? My wife.
No.
That's the tastiest thing that's been on my dick.
No, we don't have sex.
Well, you did twice. I mean, we have evidence.
Yes.
They're creams.
Too pale to be mine.
No, he's been claiming them for a while now, so...
Just the one. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. I lied. We are going to come in at an hour. So we can't stop talking.
We can't.
What happened? Well, it's you two and you're arguing over stuff that brought us to this place.
It was a lie. It was a fervent agreement.
It was. It really was. Video games are addictive, but we shouldn't ban them. That's what we came up with.
Exactly.
And Prince Andrew can fuck off.
Yeah, what an asshole.
He can fuck right off.
Yeah. He did with his wife.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, that's going to do it for us. Back next week. Let's see. What do we got coming up next week? I believe what we have next week is episode 666.
That sounds ominous.
Doesn't it?
A little bit.
It is. Episode 666 is next for the Nate Darling Show. Are you ready for episode 666? Mark of the Devil? It's going to be nothing but Anton LaVey talk.
I can't wait.
The Church of we're going to do a whole show on the Church of Satan.
Hello. That's what everybody wants. We've been getting people like you know why we're not shopping at Target on the Nate Darling Show tab? It's because you're not talking about
Satan. Yeah. Nothing but Satan talk. I may even wear horns.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I look a little horny right now.
What?
Yeah, exactly. All right, have a great weekend, everybody, and are you ready for Satan? We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Wish that I could stay forever this young. Not afraid to close my eyes. Life's a game made for everyone, and love is the prize. So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. What? All this time I was finding myself, and I didn't know I was lost. So come down for moose soup after.
What? Did you say something?
I didn't know I was lost.
Oh my God!
Come on now.
That was freaking crazy.
Huh? What?
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Goodbye.